Well, hello again there, folks. So I thought, because of some of the events that have gone on and hit the news this week, I thought it would be a good time to have a bit of a chat and make a little video, a quick video on the absolute state of the British police, which is something that I think everybody who watches this video will be aware of. The British police in recent years have become something of a meme, something of a running joke. If you're British, you'll be aware that people in other countries will look at the absolute state of the Brit Bong police officers. And there is this sort of trope, memes of them being a kind of politically correct goon squad. And they're at the same time clownish and moronic and stupid and thoughtless. But they're also insidiously evil and cruel and vindictive. And this, of course, gets back to the recent videos that I made on Power and its clients and on the other one, which is the competency crisis. So I thought this would sort of bookend what will be a little trilogy, maybe, on these related subjects. And so when we think of the British police, you always see these memes in the past, these photos of the past of the Bobby on the beat, and we kind of feel nostalgic about it. We want to know what happened there, what went wrong, why are we like sort of lumbered with these morons now, or are they morons, or is it just that I'm kind of reactionary and nostalgic, and that today everybody's more equal and we are more tolerant and we are more inclusive, because that's what the defenders of the other side, let's say, would have to say on that. And really, the when you get down to it, what the accusations, the jokes, and what people will say about the British police are things like, there'll be grooming gangs and mass rapes going on, and the police will hardly lift a finger. I'm not saying, like, this is where you've got to be careful. I'll come to that in a little bit later. But the accusation is all kinds of horrible things will be happening, but because it's their client groups, basically, they will turn a blind eye and they won't actually do much. But on the other hand, if somebody posts a spicy meme on Facebook or something, says something politically correct, then they'll tweet something which is offensive to a transsexual person or something, then they'll kick your door down in the middle of the night and haul you off to the station. Then like the knuckle duster comes out, and they are really, when it comes to protecting the ideology and the protecting the client groups, their special interest groups, protected groups, then they will spring into action and crack heads, and nothing will stand in their way. And so there's this general sort of aura hangs over the police these days that they are just a politically correct goon squad, and they are there to, they're almost like some boy that likes to pull the legs off a spider. They are on the one hand, they are ridiculously stupid and driven mad on political correctness, but at the same time, they are completely indifferent to these horrible things. They are clownish, but also cruel. And it's this toxic mix. And the question will be, well, okay, this is just stuff you've seen on the internet. It's not actually the case. It's not actual reality. And, well, yeah, I mean, there's a story came out this week where there was a 16-year-old girl who happens to be autistic, and she was, as I understand it, she was drunk in a supermarket or a shopping centre somewhere, and the police have ended up bringing her home. And once they got home, this girl had made a comment to her mother that one of the female police officers looked like a lesbian who was like her nana, her grandma, who apparently was a lesbian. I mean, let's just pause for a second here and just consider the societal decay of this, which was a white working class family as well, where the 16-year-old girl is actually like drunk in a shopping centre or the centre of town or something, and has to be brought back by the police. This already is a kind of sign of the times. It's where we are now. This is just like a routine thing. The Daily Mail. So just in case I get accused of spreading misinformation, the Daily Mail, I'll cite here, said the officer took it the wrong way and said it was a homophobic comment. It wasn't. The officer then entered my home. My daughter was having panic attacks from being touched by them. This is the mother, and then still continued to manhandle her. The footage prompted outrage online, with one social media user using writing, "I cannot believe my eyes. Someone in the police force needs to be sacked for this egregious, disgraceful situation." Another posted, "This is disgusting behaviour by West Yorkshire Police, and how many officers needed to attend? No small wonder that the girl was terrified." This is, I believe, there was six or seven officers involved, which to bring a girl, like to bring a 16-year-old girl home seems excessive to me. I've actually seen brawls in social clubs with fully grown men, where like three cops turned up. I've seen people arrested by two, and these would be people who could like really handle themselves. But yeah, six or seven cops turned up to bring a 16-year-old girl home, which it seems weird to me. And Andrew Piper added, "At West Yorkshire Police, completely unacceptable from the officers in this video. When the officer was informed that the daughter had autism, the comment from the officer, 'I don't care,' is completely inappropriate. In the footage, two officers can be seen in the hallway of the home while the girl hides in a corner next to a cupboard. There was a lot of screaming, there was a lot of shouting going on. The police officer in question, who has cropped blonde hair, can be heard insisting she, the girl, is going to be arrested." So she's going to be arrested because of something, a comment that she made about that officer being a lesbian. Now, once again, just in case I get accused of spreading misinformation or something, here is the statement from West Yorkshire Police itself, which I'll read through. So, after that, I'll give my own opinions and takes on this. West Yorkshire Police Assistant Chief Constable Oz Khan. Well, there we go. See, it's a nice little bookend to the last couple of videos. You could watch it all as a trilogy. "We are aware of a video circulating on social media, which, as is often the case," by the way, I'm not playing the video because I just think it's kind of low and it's unpleasant and only provides a very limited snapshot of the circumstances of this incident. Officers had their body-worn video cameras activated during their wider involvement with this young girl, which provides additional context to their actions. We have received a complaint in relation to this incident, which is currently being assessed by West Yorkshire Professional Standards Directorate. While that ongoing process and the active criminal investigation limit our ability to fully discuss the incident in detail, we feel it is important for people to have some context about the circumstances." So this is what went on here. This is we're going to get into the actual details of what happened according to West Yorkshire Police. So this is the official narrative, in case I'm accused of spreading some kind of misinformation or something. "From 12 past 12 a.m. on Monday, August the 7th, police received calls from a family member of a 16-year-old girl who was reportedly intoxicated and putting herself at risk in Leeds City Centre. Officers attended at about 1 a.m. and drove the teenager to her home so she could be appropriately looked after. Upon returning to the address, comments were made which resulted in the girl being arrested on suspicion of a homophobic public order offence. The nature of the comments made was fully captured on body-worn video." Oh God, the horror, the horror. "When the girl was eventually fit to be interviewed, that interview took place with an appropriate adult. She was later released on bail pending further inquiries and advice from the Crown Prosecution Service. West Yorkshire Police takes its responsibilities around the welfare of young people taken into custody and around neurodiversity." This is because she was autistic. I learned that's what that means. "Very seriously. We also maintain that our officers and staff should not have to face abuse while working to keep our community safe. We are fully reviewing the circumstances of this incident and ask that people avoid reaching any conclusions about it solely on the basis of the social media video." So, okay, I don't need the video. I'll reach my conclusions from the actual statement of West Yorkshire police. But if we go back to the Equality Act, which I mentioned in the Power and Its Clients group, we can see something happening here. Now, in that video, I was really kind of talking about minority groups. But in this one, we can see that there's another, what would be classed as a protected characteristic being brought into question. This time it's relating to sexual identity or persuasion, whatever you want. Now, I mean, obviously people have had a look at the police officer in question and came to their own conclusions. I've got no idea about the woman. I don't know what her private life is. That's not really the issue anyway, though. And it isn't really to do with, you know, you can say, like, that there is an argument which is to say that, well, she wasn't actually addressing the police officer. She was addressing her mother. So in terms of a hate speech, first of all, it was in a private dwelling. And then it was also not actually directed at the person who was the victim. Now, I don't think that's much of a help, because if you remember when they wrote these things into law, it was about the perception. It's all about it's the same as when you get into the trans stuff. It's the perception of the victim and whether they perceive to have been aggrieved. Now, I mean, I suppose in that particular instance, if she, the police woman is a lesbian or if she isn't, I don't know. You get into this really weird territory. None of this particularly makes sense. But that doesn't matter, because what really matters is that she's using political correctness as a cudgel. It isn't logical. It isn't rational. It doesn't seem to make much sense. But what's being invoked here is ideology. Ideology matters. It is perceived that the girl had an ideological infraction of the police, and now she has to be hauled down the station. So when we have a look at what is that ideology based upon, whether you want to call it political correctness or intersectionality or cultural Marxism, people bicker on about these things, or more commonly today, they just call it woke. Written into the Equalities Act, where this is formalised and put into law, is formalised in a way. Cultural Marxism is law in Britain, and it is in America as well, mainly through the sort of conduit of the Civil Rights Act. In Britain, we had various different bits of law and legislation on the books, and then in 2010, it was mainly kind of brought together and given us all cobbled together within the Equalities Act, which you know, so much for the Conservative government. Like, they've been in for 13 years, they didn't do a thing about that. All they did was add to it. But the essence of it is that in society we have groups who are vulnerable and they need special dispensation. Already you can kind of see why the classic liberals complained about this so much at the time, because if you're going to have a classic liberal society, there can't be any special dispensations. You have to have equality before the law, which has now been kind of abolished because of the Equality Act. It literally says in the legislation, protected. They are protected groups. So this leads us to a couple of conclusions, which is that if you have a look at the makeup of the family involved here, they are clearly white working class. They are not protected. They have no characteristics which protect them whatsoever. But in theory, the society favours them over the protected groups, over the various identity groups, whether they are ethnic minorities or it's the sexual minorities, the LGBT, you know, all of these different things. There's more and more of them all the time. I mean, incidentally, the actual lesbian one is sort of in the stages of being phased out, as the regime tends to favour the transsexual stuff. So you have the turf wars that are going on. What this is that the regime has decided to sort of, that was like good and fine 10 years ago, but now it's a bit naff and they want something more extreme in, which is where you get the trans stuff in. They are now on their way to being a protected group themselves, of course. If they're not, well, they already are. So in theory, though, it's just to protect the powerless. But in practice, because of the policies that's been in place and because of the diversity hiring and the box ticking, which I touched on in another video, albeit within a bit of a different context. I would say competency actually does factor in here. I think that police officer was clearly incompetent. She lost her cool. She went wild. She was getting all flustered. But within that, within the group that she was with, she, having watched the video, it also appeared that she was in the dominant position. And if you look, there was a black woman in the background and the rest of it were white men. And in a way, like the black woman just seems to have got on with the job. But in this particular case, it was the woman who was called a lesbian. That officer seemed to be calling the shots. I don't know, maybe she outranks them or whatever. But here's the thing, here's the rub. She's not oppressed. She is now in a position of power. And she is in a power position which is infinitely more powerful than that white working class family whose house she was standing in and lording it over. So you get into a paradox because, on the one hand, she is classed as oppressed. It's protected characteristics. Or the ideology is what's really been protected here from any kind of insults. That's what's happened. On the other hand, she is the oppressor. She is literally standing there having a girl dragged out who is screaming and kicking, and then she stands there and lords it over them as the girl is pinned down to the floor by a bunch of goons, by her lackeys. Well, that's what my impression was of the video. That's what my impression was, even just reading the statement by Yorkshire Police. And so what we have is somebody who is oppressed and oppressor at the same time. Now, of course, when she goes up against other oppressed groups within the hierarchy, because she's white and just a lesbian, then she probably would lose out against the others. But she also knows that she wins against the white working class family whose house she is standing in shouting. And so it's a kind of ideology which negates its own purpose. If all of a sudden all of these people are they are dominant, they are the oppressors, then what is the basis for the legislation and the policies in the first place, unless that is it? Unless they have been enfranchised to terrorize the population by bullying them like this, by policing them for ideological infractions, an ideology that they may not agree with. The police are not supposed to be political in that way. And people will say, well, they always have been kind of political. Or what was the moral basis of the old-fashioned Bobby on the beat? The old-fashioned Bobby on the beat would have been the wider context that formed his morality, would have been a Christian, conservative, more or less traditional society. And then within that, he would use his own reason to assess what was to be done in a given situation. So he would have come to the conclusion that this girl was drunk, and she needed to go to bed and she needed to sleep it off. And what she actually had to say, what actually came out of her mouth, would have been largely irrelevant because he would have reasoned to himself and the rest of them, who they would have all been men, that, well, she doesn't pose a threat. She isn't committing any crime. She's just a silly girl who needs to go and sleep it off and stop getting drunk in a shopping centre. That would have been the message to the mother, and whatever came out of the girl's mouth would have largely been ignored. So this is what would have formed the wider kind of reasoning. Fundamentally, it would have been care for the girl. Even if it was, like, this is how the patriarchy would have functioned, which we've now abolished, because we now have these sort of shrieking ideologues who are going to say, she has now broken a speech code, an ideological speech code. So the allegation against the police that they are not there to catch criminals, but to catch, but to enforce an ideology and to enforce politics is almost irrefutable going off the evidence of this case. So then we see this is exactly why they are there, that this is the purpose of, they are branded with a rainbow flag, quite literally branded with it. They dance around and they parade themselves at these things. And what that is signifying is their obedience to a foreign ideology, the ideology of, say, global capital or the American deep state or whatever you want to have it. The idea that this is some sort of emergent fight for civil rights is completely nonsensical when it's all top down. And so the wider context that she has to go fall back on, unlike the copper, the old Bobby, is a kind of internationalist, globalist, technocratic, Marxoid shambles, which is purely meant to torment people and persecute people for ideological infractions from, and this is the thing, from a position of power. And it needs to be reeled in as quickly as it can. In any interaction that the normal person on the street will, in any dispute, the normal white British person will lose to the ideology. But now the ideology is in the police. So this is tyrannical. This is purely authoritarian. And these quotes that the liberal left will come out with, that this is some kind of, well, people have fought hard for their rights. They didn't. This is all top down. The rails were greased all along by NGO money and by all of these think tanks and all of these policy, you know, wonks. And what I thought was interesting as well is that I did a tweet about this, and people were pointing out the quote by On the Banality of Evil by Hannah Arendt. And where that comes from is her assessment of Adolf Eichmann, his trial. And now I certainly won't be opening up that kind of worms on YouTube. But I think what she actually sort of describes is something interesting, because when we talk about evil, the banality of evil, the clue is in the title there. It is boring. It isn't where you have the Emperor from Star Wars, you know, and it isn't where you have some kind of cackling sorcerer or some kind of demonic thing. Many of the people who do dress themselves up in the rainbow stuff are actually like that. But what we see with the sort of the political enforcers of the state is that they are kind of banal, they are boring. And the reason for that is that, in my opinion, they've in some way been hollowed out, and there's not really a person there anymore. You know, if you look at it again, it's sort of the smiling Bobby from a traditional society, his sort of morality, his moral compass would have been formed in a much more organic and healthy way. He would have known, he would have had a sense of right and wrong. Well, when you abolish that society, what you're left with is just lawful and unlawful. And so enforcing the law becomes a purely matter of technique. It is an instrumental, technical process. And what that does is mean that the people on the other end of that become reduced to just objects, where you have no empathy, no compassion for them, and you are no longer capable of having any kind of sheer, good old-fashioned common sense. You will view the other individual, if they fall outside of the category, if they fall outside of the protected groups, this is why we get the idea that they are completely biased, that there are protected, literally protected people. Well, yeah, they get protected. And then the ones who aren't, don't. And what they are reduced to is almost like these non-persons. If you imagine what it's like when a conquering army enters a city or a village, and there's no longer any law and order, there's no army there to protect them, nothing. All you've got to do is get down on your knees and hope that you don't get raped or shot through the back of the head. You are in this state of complete and utter powerlessness, because you are outside of any care. And you will notice as well that the people who force this from the top more thoroughly, the people who like to dress themselves up in the garb of the rainbow flag and all of these LGBT blah, 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 they do this under the pretense of human rights. They do this under the pretense of love. But when you actually look at the realities, once it's codified in law, once the police are wearing the emblem and everybody's had the ideological stamp and everybody's danced at pride, you can see that the people who fall outside of those categories get nothing. They are non-persons, and they do it, and they can be dragged off to jail in the middle of the night for the tiniest little infractions. And when they do so, the reason why they are banal, the reason where this comes from, is that they are just carrying out a technical process. They are not engaged in any kind of moral action. It's a technical process, like working in a bottled plant or just flushing a toilet. It's something to be done without thinking about anymore. And behind all of these groups who are trying to root this filth out as fast as possible, because eventually, I've got no doubt they'll come for me in the end. They may come for you, whoever. And when it's the cops kneeling on my neck and I look up, it will probably be a face like that pitiless face, smirking face, the smirk that smirked in the gulags under the Bolsheviks, looking down at you. Because that's what absolutely has to be purged from all of the institutions of Britain, is this cancerous, rancid ideology, which doesn't make any sense. It is just the inversion of what they claim it is. They claim it's about protecting the vulnerable, while they stand in people's homes and drag girls off and pin them to the floor in the middle of the night for nonsense. It's horrendous, and it needs to be ended. Thanks for listening, folks, and I'll catch you later.